Hello.
Hey there.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 42 of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm your host, Dustin.
And I am Chris.
Welcome to our first official snow of winter on January 12th.
You know, considering that last week it was like 50 degrees. Like, yeah. Last Saturday, I had my windows open.
It was worthy of having your windows open. Not only that, my neighbor mowed his lawn.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Is it Doug?
It was Doug.
Of course.
Did he have a shirt off?
Of course. No, I don't think he was bummed. I mean, it was only 50, but had it been a little, maybe 10 degrees warmer, he definitely would have popped that thing off. Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out.
He basically, like, we waved at him because we let the dog out, and he was just like, stopped his lawnmower, looked at us, and like threw up like the shrug, like, I guess I'm mowing my lawn in January.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's a good thing global warming doesn't exist.
No, it's a myth.
Yeah, it was real nice, and then it got just fucking stupid cold real fast.
Oh, it hasn't gotten stupid cold.
No. I was just about to say that. Do you remember like this time last year?
It was in the teens, which is cold, don't get me wrong, but it hasn't been stupid cold yet.
Valid. I guess that's valid. It's stupid cold when you breathe in through your nose and your nose hairs freeze.
And
then it's stupid cold.
Your face becomes literally one big chap.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, last year it was negative degrees. Like, that wind chill was fierce.
And thoughts, like, and prayers to our St. Louis friends for 22 inches of snow.
I mean, I think they deserve it.
If I looked at a picture on Twitter last night, of which a bunch of people reposted, of I-64 and all of the surrounding highways around central St. Louis on like Google Maps for traffic, and everything was red for literal miles. So I don't know if they just weren't prepared or what happened, but
you think they would be prepared considering like Midwest boys, you know?
It's a little different down there.
Yeah, it's,
but not by much, because this happens probably once every 5 or 6 years. But what they usually get down there is ice, so they definitely should be prepared. I don't know. This is speaking from going to college 15 minutes away from St. Louis.
Yeah, do they normally get, like, that amount of snow?
No.
Like, yeah, exactly, right? Like, that's something that we might get hit with, but generally it's, like, even north of us that gets hit with 22 inches of snow.
Well, I just meant, like
in
just
one,
like,
fell swoop.
I just meant, like, the slippery roads and, you know, stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, like Adam said, like, mm-hmm. they're at least used to the icy conditions, mm-hmm. you know? So I figured, like, at least with that, they'd be prepared. Like, their city probably has the equipment to handle it. You know, this isn't like Virginia when they get snow. It's like, oh, we got to shut shit down. We don't got trucks to handle
anywhere
this.
In Texas, yeah.
Anywhere yeah. in Texas, yeah.
So
it's funny. I was talking to one of the plants I deal with in Savannah, Georgia, this past week, and we were talking about how cold it was here, being like 13 degrees outside. And one of the guys is like, yeah, I went outside to get something out of my car, and it was a little chilly, so I had to grab my coat because it was like 60 degrees there, 55 degrees.
Oh.
I was like,
oh, no.
Fuck you, man.
Didn't we make fun of Ben, like, for the same thing when he was in Japan? I was like, well, I had my coat on, and I was like, what, Midwest boy, out of you now?
Been in Texas way too long.
Dustin, you've had a pretty interesting past couple weeks, huh?
I mean, not all too entirely interesting. I did have surgery for the first time ever.
How was it?
You're
alive.
Yeah, thankfully.
Unless some weird shit happened.
It wasn't anything major, but I did have to get fully put under, which was really freaking me out, but... Yeah, when they put... my hand is still bruised from the IV because they had to stick me 3 times.
I feel you there.
Yeah, like for some reason...
I can't get blood drawn.
She just couldn't, like... Eventually they had to put it in my wrist.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's a main vein.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I thought I was going to be real nervous going back into that room, but they put some sort of... I don't know what they put in my IV, but... It made it feel like I'd had a couple drinks, so I was like, fuck it, let's do it. Bring me back.
It's a legal-ish and mild form of methamphetamine.
So yeah, That everything went fine. You know, I don't really remember too much of the recovery.
Well, as I said, don't you just remember just like waking up? Like all of a sudden you're like, you're going to sleep and then you just wake up.
Yeah, I just remember them being like, they put the oxygen thing on my face and I'm like, all right, breathe in like deep. And I remember doing it three times and I don't remember anything after that.
And you woke up.
And then I woke up. I remember kind of like very groggily, like waking up and asking for something to drink. And they let like... I remember a nurse feeding me ice mm-hmm. in some recovery
yep.
room.
Yep.
And then
baby
bird. I was like in my own recovery room where Katie could come back in. And we hung out there for like an hour, hour and a half. And like slowly, I just kind of woke up more and more. And then I remember coming home and basically just napping on the couch all night. I don't know if I told you guys this. My parents said they were coming over and they wanted to bring me ice cream. So they mm-hmm. asked what I wanted. And for some reason, I asked for Spumoni.
What?
Right?
I don't think in all our years of knowing each other,
dude,
I've ever heard you say the word Spumoni.
Like, it's an ice cream I very, very much enjoy getting. When you're done with a meal at an Italian restaurant.
At Lino's, yeah.
Right. It's like, so then like 2 hours later, they're like, we can't find any Spumoni. What do you want? And I just looked at Katie and I was like, why the fuck did I say Spumoni? I'll just take mint chocolate chip. That's fine. Like, I don't know what I was doing 2 hours ago. I was out of it.
Your parents on a wild goose
chase. Yeah. I was like, where are you going to find Spumoni? Do they even sell that outside of Italian restaurants? I've never seen it
at Woodman's.
Okay. So... But that's how I was recovering, asking for weird ice cream for some reason. So
I honestly got sent to like one of those like I was wondering how you were doing that day,
mm-hmm.
yeah. you know, and like I you know we have a group chat on Facebook, and I was like, oh, Dustin, what's going on? How are you doing? No answer, and I was like, and Adam, of course, and in a humor fashion, is like, ah, he probably died.
Yeah, he's dead. He's dead. He's gone.
So we go to
in our chat. I was just like. I'm sure he's still pretty fucked up on whatever drugs right now, so he probably won't be answering his phone. And that's when I hopped over to the other chat where it's the three of us and Katie, and I was like, hey, Katie. We were like, Katie, how is he? No one said anything for hours. And he thought, is he alive? Is he dead?
Oh, yeah. He's dead. He's dead.
But he's probably dead.
It was funny. It was like, since my parents were coming over, Katie decided to clean the house. So I remember getting home, and our house, it wasn't like crazy dirty, but it's like, lived in whatever, you know, and I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up multiple hours later to a absolutely spotless looking house. My parents brought me ice cream and it was not bad.
No, it's
what
a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then
Should
it was
have
just
surgery more often.
So, yeah, I haven't gotten the bill yet. Let's see how that goes.
You probably hit your deductible.
Oh, I think so. I think so. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad. It's just a lot of laying around. I did naively work the next 2 days, which...
Barely?
I could tell, like, yeah, because I had it on Wednesday. On Thursday, I could tell, like, I was answering emails, but, like, I was still a little... I was pretty tired, right? Like,
yeah.
I could tell I was still coming out of it. Friday wasn't so bad, but it was, like, a short day, and then...
So you're still working out that morphine at that point.
Yeah, yeah, and it just... Kind of been taking it slowly. I finally took the bandage off my leg a couple days ago, and I've left it off, so it's just kind of, it just looks gnarly, but...
I mean...
Yeah, it's slow but surely coming back. You know, I can actually walk up and down the stairs without, you know, taking too much time.
Okay. I'm sure the nice part is meeting your deductible in January.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
This is true.
You got a fucking gray ear ahead of you.
Yeah, man, if anything else happens, we're golden, right? So, it wasn't
good.
So bad. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play too many games because a couple of those nights, it's like I tried to just live off of ibuprofen during the day while I was working. And then the Percocet that I got prescribed to me came later that night. And that, I've never taken Percocet before.
Mm.
Ooh.
And I absolutely melted into the couch. Like,
yep.
There's nothing. I'm doing nothing. And I'm barely watching TV, but I'm just here. So
that's why I stay away from pain pills personally. That is a vice of mine. And I'm good.
Yeah, dude, I took two of them They gave me 20.
Yeah.
And I took two of them, and I have not taken another one because I was like, I want to be able to, like, function if I want to. So.
Yeah. When I dislocated my finger, like, 5-6 years ago, I took a half of a Percocet that they prescribed me, and I still have the other, like, 24 and a half.
Right. So.
You hear that? Adam took a half of one. Dustin took two.
Yeah. Well.
Dustin got fucked up.
I took half of one because when I dislocated my finger, I went to the ER, obviously, got it reset, and then they gave me pain pills. I took half of one because this was on a Friday when I worked in the school district. So I took half of one so I could function enough to still not be in super amount of pain and then go out drinking.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I took half of one.
Sure.
It's just so I could take the edge off a little more because, you know, that hurts.
But those are strong. I mean, the Percocets are strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
And I mean, it wasn't horrible. I just took it the first two nights after, you know, post-surgery. But then, like, once I got to the weekend and I could kind of stay off of it, it didn't quite ache as much. And then coming into this week, it was like, you know, as every day, it just gets better and better and better. And I haven't had to take any ibuprofen. Yeah. And I'm fine. So.
Yeah. I remember when I got my gallbladder out, like the first like 2 days, 2-3 days were rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get put under, they put like carbon monoxide in you, like when you're getting surgery, mm-hmm. like they're opening you up, and that's mine wasn't opening up, but anyway. And, like, my whole body hurt because that was leaving my body. Like, I was like, why does my shoulder hurt? Like, this is fucked up. Like, it was so bad that I called the nurse. I was like, what is going on here? She's like, oh, this is the reason. I'm like, oh, okay.
All right, then.
And honestly, with mine, the most annoying part of everything, like, the recovery, like, the leg hurt. But it's whatever. It's manageable. The fact that the breathing tube that they put down my throat, it fucked up my uvula,
mm-hmm.
yep.
like to the point where it was hanging down and touching the back of my tongue. So I constantly felt like I had something in my throat.
That's annoying.
Yeah, very. Especially when you're trying to talk and it's like you can feel it like hitting. And I'm like, I was like, gag. It's like, stop. So, but that's recovered now, thankfully. So
good.
Yeah, I just wish I got to play a little more games, but you know, it is what it is. I played a little bit of Smash.
Yeah, so
that was okay. You know, kind of played Link, just kind of feeling it out, figuring it out. Because
you're playing Ocarina of Time a little bit as well. A
little bit, right? I'm in the tree. I made it a little bit, but I think I'm gonna start trying to do more of that at night when I go to bed, since I can just play it in bed. So mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna move around a little bit. I started up playing South Park Fractured But Whole again.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm doing a couple little things. I'm hoping in the next couple weeks I'll be able to play some more, you know, as I've, you know, find more time and less drugs in my system to actually do this.
Should help.
Yeah, very much so.
I didn't have any surgery, you know.
So. I was gonna say, you've been making a run at some stuff, right?
Well, you know, I really got into Assassin's Creed Odyssey last weekend. I got pretty decently far in that. But I'm trying to play... I posted in our Facebook and Instagram that I'm trying to play more indie games. You know, because I feel like those are some of the... You know, from last year, there's a ton of great indie games that came out that
Especially last year.
Yeah,
definitely.
That I didn't even try or glance at. So I picked up Celeste and... Man, that game is fun, but it is hard as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to be so precise on some of these jumps, but the good thing is, if you die, you just start over on your panel of the level.
I don't play that screen, right?
Yeah, it's just on that screen, so it's a bunch of trial and error until you get it, and there's these strawberries you can get. I don't even know what they do, but they're like collectibles. But I'm pretty far in that. And then, you know, the good thing about playing that on Switch is that I could, like, have something on my TV in the background, you know, like I'm watching, like Seinfeld is just playing, or you know, whatever else. Like I was playing last night and watching Shaun of the Dead, you know.
Got some red on you.
I'm trying to get through that or the triple Cornetto comedy that Edgar Wright put out. So I'm in the middle of Hot Fuzz right now, but
I love it.
I love Hot Fuzz so much.
Yeah, I'm at the very, I'm at like at the last 50 minutes of it where it's about to pop off too. So, and then yesterday I played the one shot Resident Evil 2 demo.
Yeah, how did that go?
Good. Like I was telling Adam about it before, you know, we started recording, but you get the gist of it. Like it's really not short. I beat it within 18 minutes. But you get the controls, you get, you know, you get to shoot some zombies, you get to see what it's about. It looks good for what it is, and it just, you get those feelings. Like, if you played Resident Evil 2 back in the day, just seeing that world that you were in like, full 3D is like, oh, shit, this is that room? Oh, shit, I remember this room. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, it ended right before you got to meet a licker. So,
just saving the good stuff.
Like, you saw it. You saw it in that window. Like, in the normal game, like, you saw it in that window. But then once you got to it, it didn't happen. So, yeah, I'm, it's gonna be a busy couple months. You know, I told, you know, I started Adam, like, I'm gonna be busy next month. He goes, oh, a lot of work. No, Resident Evil 2's out during this month, and so is Kingdom Hearts 3. So, shit.
I've been really thinking about getting Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, the good thing about it is that I read yesterday that they're going to be doing like a 20-minute synopsis video, which
of the game?
Yeah, of the series beforehand, you know.
That's smart. Okay. Yeah.
But someone's like they're like 30-minute multiple episodes explaining Kingdom Hearts story. So I'm really curious on how they're going to be doing
be able to do 20 minutes.
Melt it all down.
But yeah, that's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah, we should definitely have your was it your buddy's brother?
So my friend Jordan's brother, Colton, reached out, and you know he's a big Disney fan, and he plays Kingdom Hearts. He's a big sports fan too, in general, which is always interesting to.
Well, he has his own podcast for that.
Yeah, he has a podcast live from the 815, where he talks about, you know, sports and everything that's going on, and he's got a website, Backup Quarterback, as well. And yeah, he wanted to see, you know, if he could be on when we start talking about Kingdom Hearts. So either we can have an episode about that, or we can have a one-off about Kingdom Hearts, you know.
Either
yeah,
way.
Definitely. Yeah.
So yeah,
we'll work something out.
Look forward to mm-hmm. that.
Sounds like a good time. I don't know if I'm going to get into Kingdom Hearts. I kind of want to, but probably a little less than Dustin. But I don't know. Maybe one of us could stream it or something, because I do want to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Misty might be playing it too, because she loves that series, so I might just watch it that way.
I mean, because like I've never, I think I've said it before, like I've never played one of those games, and I never really understood having Disney characters in that type of environment. But I also love that, like, RPG, like I love that game, like that game style. So mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by it.
Well, if you like that game type of style, I think you should really play Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
The combat is similar enough.
Okay.
And I think that'd be more of your element as far as the story goes. Good news is that I own it, so I can let you borrow it.
Definitely. I will
bring it over you on that. God of War.
Yeah.
But I won't let but I won't let you borrow it until you beat Ocarina of Time. So
That's fine. That's understandable.
Baby steps.
Yeah, it's cool.
But no, like, if you played it since the beginning, you know, it makes sense on why there's Disney characters and stuff. Okay. But yeah, the story is very busy. You know, there's just so many things in it. So
at least the 20-minute synopsis video should help a little.
Yes.
Hopefully. I mean, I guess if it's 20 minutes, they can get rid of most of the fluff, which is most of, you know, chunks of the game.
Yeah,
that are really cool, but not important lore-wise.
And I'm sure there's YouTube videos out there, retrospectives and everything you can find on Kingdom Hearts, so.
I am happy for your February and also scared for you for February.
I'll be good. I'll stream it for sure a few times.
Okay.
Like, I tried to stream Resident Evil 2 yesterday, but they're smart. They're smart and they blocked it. Like,
yeah, it's embargoed.
That was smart. That was a smart move on their part.
Capcom's weird that way, though. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they don't do that for Kingdom Hearts when the actual game comes out, like Atlas did with Persona 5.
They blocked it from being streamed?
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty much. You could get your channel taken down for DMC.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't think they care about it now for some reason, but it's still supposed to be embargoed.
Spoilers or something, maybe. I don't know.
I can understand a beta being, like, you don't want to show, like, what Chris was doing, but an actual game, like, if somebody wants to watch you play it, who gives a shit?
Well, the thing is, the Resident Evil 2 is a demo. Like, it's not even
beta. Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, not even a beta, just the demo, yeah.
But, like, I know in Kingdom Hearts 3, like, they're not having the final movie in there because the game was leaked. So they're going to patch in the ending movie eventually. What about you, cute boy? What you been doing the last few weeks, man?
Last week was mainly spent playing Dark Souls 3 again because I wanted to... Misty was scrapbooking, and I felt bad by just sitting near her with headphones in playing Call of Duty or something. So I wanted something where I could just not really have the sound on and just...
Play.
So I went for the perfect quote-unquote ending for Dark Souls 3, which is the most convoluted fucking thing in the entire world. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it before a long time ago, but, like, you need a step-by-step guide, or to get it on your first playthrough is damn near impossible, I would say, unless you're extremely lucky, because people show up in places that you've been to before, but you need to go back there to talk to them and talk to them about stuff that happens way in the future still. And then some NPCs die and another one appears close by, but not really close by enough to, like, notice it. And just there's whole steps involved that are just ridiculous that I did, and I'm ready. So now I just need to beat the game. And I looked it up, and the game came out roughly 3 years ago now. And even still, the ending I'm going for, less than 18% of people have gotten on PlayStation, and less than 30% of the people have gotten the normal ending. So I don't know. I mean, I think that happens with most games as people drop off halfway through, but still blows my mind. And I still want to either play co-op with you guys, or what we should do is we should stream it to the podcast Twitch channel and just have me there and have you guys play it and try to figure stuff out. And I would point you in the direction of how to get this perfect ending, because I want you guys to experience how fucking ridiculous it is. And it could make for fun stuff. I don't know. That's future talk. But so that was last weekend. Then been playing Blackout still, keeping up with the meta. Got to level 69 in the progression unlock, so Chris wants me to be done, but level 70 is really cool. So we'll see.
Why? You're perfect now. Why would you want to go past perfect?
Because if I get to 70, the ABR skin unlocks, it turns into the front of it into a big bomber airplane that has propellers that spin around.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, right. That's pretty... Okay, I mean, sacrifices need to be made here for the perfect level.
I'm on the cool level for sure.
Definitely.
But...
You've already won. Pretty good. Yeah, now you just need the frosting on top.
And, I mean, what better way to frost after 69, right?
Exactly.
My stomach hurts right now. Does yours?
A little. I have a bad taste in my mouth, and I don't know what it's from. Probably the frosting. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty much been the video games I've been playing. Watched the... there's a new comedy special on Netflix. The comedians from around the world.
Is it Chris D'Elia on that?
He's on the U.S. bit, and he's pretty good in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Swartzen's in it. He's also pretty good. His material is new, which I appreciate, but it's still roughly the same material from 15 years ago.
Nick Swartzen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched his. I watched Chris D'Elia's. And, yeah, like you said, it was all right. Haven't really watched too many of the other ones.
Nicole Byers is really good.
Is it?
Yeah. She's from Nailed It, which is on Netflix. And if you haven't watched that, highly suggest you do. That show is great.
I did watch The Kaminsky Method.
I haven't watched that yet.
That is so goddamn good.
All right.
I haven't watched that yet either. I did watch the Black Mirror movie.
Yep. So did I.
Bandersnatch.
Yes.
I have not watched that.
That is a great time.
I had fun with it.
That's a
good I had friends that tried to watch it last night with her boyfriend, and they said they stopped. And I was like, I could see that. I don't think that was for you.
Between Bandersnatch and Birdwatch or whatever.
Bird Box.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like, I'm just, I don't know. There's too much.
Bird Box is just okay. I think I said that last time. It's all right. It's not what people are making it out to be, in my opinion.
I mean, I still have to watch A Quiet Place, and I'd rather watch that first.
Watch that first, yeah. I think the Bird Box hype is marketing. I think that's just purely marketing. That's all it is. People got paid. A lot of people, like influencers, got paid to hype it up, and you know, that's how that works.
You should definitely watch that Metal Gear Solid 3 video I posted last night.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
It's 50 minutes long, but it is worth every single second.
Well, I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, so I'll definitely check that out because it's great. You know, when I played the Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation, the classic I bought, it was, nostalgia.
I also found out that Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 HD Collection got retroactively added to backwards compatibility for Xbox One.
Ooh.
And guess who owns those? So, downloaded those the other night.
Might have to get an Xbox now. I don't know. Just kidding.
I mean, I can just loan you mine.
No, I'm good. I'm not going to buy an Xbox.
For two. If you really want 2 and 3, I can loan you mine. How about
that? Not this late in the
I knew I kept mine for a reason because they keep doing stuff like this. And I own a lot of 360 games with this account, so.
And a lot makes it worth it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially for 3, for Metal Gear Solid, and 2, mm-hmm. for what it's worth. But
They're all good, man.
So in my opinion. That's what I've been up to. Getting ready for a murder mystery party tonight for Missy's birthday. And that's pretty much been my week. Also, if you watch that Metal Gear Solid 3 video, it just randomly in the background, like kind of what we've been doing with our editing in the background, you'll hear, "My name's Jeff." I audibly laughed out loud about every 5 or 10 minutes of that video. It's so good.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
Like, spoilers for it, but you know, if you don't mind, it's worth the memes.
And it's for Metal Gear Solid 3?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know
I've never played it, so.
Did you know that this episode is sponsored by Jeff's Burgers? I saw that. It just made me crack up. I had to share it.
Jeff's Burgers.
Yeah, I laughed really loud when I first saw that at home. I was like, oh shit, this is hilarious.
New sponsor of the podcast, Jeff Burger. But in all actuality, our podcast is sponsored by Slumberyard Handcrafted. And they are your source for custom wood furniture, woodworks, and sawmill services. From tables to beds, cutting boards to benches, and everything in between, they are here to build your dream. You can visit their website to see their portfolio, a calendar of upcoming events, and to schedule yourself a free design session. And you can do that at slumberyardhandcrafted.com. And get yourself a nice end table. You can check out their Instagram for said end tables that have already been made, or maybe little sneak peeks into building of an end table. And just get yourself an end table from Slumberyard Handcrafted. Thank you, Slumberyard.
They also make bitchin' entertainment centers.
They do. Can speak from experience. Still,
and bed frames.
Also from experience. Can confirm.
There was some video game news this week that shook the industry.
So, we were a Destiny podcast unofficially, I think, for the first year.
It felt like it. It really did. More or less. Yeah, PUBG and Destiny 2.
When the game is that good, though?
For Destiny 1, absolutely, yes. Destiny 2, less so. Getting better, though.
The Forsaken's great.
If you played the Forsaken, separately now, I wish you'd get into the Forsaken now, because it is way better.
It's going to be one of those things I just set, I want to go through it by myself, just for the story, mm-hmm. and then we'll see what happened.
Sure.
From there. It'll happen someday. I don't know when, but it will happen before the game's dead.
So,
quote unquote, dead.
Oh, don't.
No, I mean,
don't.
No, just don't. Because like Destiny 1 like is quote unquote dead because Destiny 2 is, you know, that's what I mean. Don't worry.
Right. Okay. My heart hurt for a second there. That's,
I
know. All.
I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry, babe.
Thanks, babe. So, as you guys probably know, not sure if our lovely listeners know, but Bungie teamed up with Activision in 2010.
Yes.
To develop Destiny.
Yes.
And so they've been working with Activision, coming up with the ideas, coming up with the scheme, and getting like development teams involved. Activision put money in, you know, Destiny 1 came out in 2014.
I would say it's mainly for financial help, I would assume.
I would, yeah. Probably financial help and probably like...
And other resources like that. Yeah, so.
Exactly. It was announced last week that Bungie and Activision have parted ways. And they get to keep Destiny, their IP, which is fantastic.
Bungie gets to keep the IP.
Right.
Not Activision.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they don't want that.
That's the big caveat. Which is huge.
Yeah, because this doesn't happen. Like, ever. I feel.
Bungie is obviously a very well-known studio. Did Halo, the first three Halos, and ODST, and that. So, I mean, they had made a shit ton of money from it, and then they parted ways with Microsoft over Destiny, mainly, because they wanted to do their own thing, and Microsoft kept the IP. So, once the contract was done, null and void, with Microsoft, Bungie stopped getting annuities from the Halo IPs and went to Microsoft, which is why I'm presumably they needed Activision's assistance with Destiny 1 and 2.
I think you're right.
And now they're in a place of financial stability, I hope, and I would assume as well, that they just do their own thing.
So they are, because in 2018, Bungie struck a deal with Chinese internet company NetEase to establish Bungie as a game maker. They received $100 million investment from NetEase.
Okay. And I mean, and that sounds weird, but that's typical for the gaming industry. Like, even if you are an independent company, you are probably still privately owned by some company overseas, if you're in America.
Mm-hmm. Essentially.
That's just the way these things work.
This just means like they struck a deal. I don't know if that means like they're owned by them.
Technically, yeah. If they're invested, they're at least partially owned by them.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think it's NetEase. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's probably like similar to like their Activision deal, I would guess.
But I would assume Bungie controls the majority of whatever shares they have. So, you know.
Correct.
That's all business stuff. I don't know how interesting that is to people, but
yeah, I don't know.
I find it very interesting because that's how deals or like games can be influenced because of that. But from everything I've read, and I'm assuming you guys have seen, that Bungie's controlling the IP now, which is fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think Activision, this is my theory at least, Activision had much say in the Destiny 1 when it came out the first year. I feel Activision controlled most of that. Then I think Bungie got more of the control once The Taken King came out. You know? And then same thing with Destiny 2. Once Destiny 2 first came out, Activision had primary control of what was going on. But both the first year of Destiny and Destiny 2 were not met favorably compared to now, like, Forsaken and The Taken King. And even, like, Rise of Iron, you know, for Destiny 1 when that came out. Like, those were...
Sure.
Heavy hitters like that. The Forsaken has put such a great taste back into the player base's mouth that like even just this past week they introduced the last part of their Black Armory DLC, which was a huge puzzle that like they just solved last night. You know,
which is funny because 24 hours before that, Bungie was like, "Okay, we'll unlock it for you because nobody's figured it out."
And kudos to them to being able to do that, because like that just shows that they are actively listening to their community and watching and see like, wow, all right, you know,
in
average Joe Schmo is not going to be able to figure out this puzzle.
in as most layman terms as possible, what do you mean by puzzle for this thing? Like, so, as concisely as possible, too.
This is like, there are pictures, you know, on the floor and on the wall, and this all has to deal, like, with a story between these three families that have something to do with, like, King Arthur and this forest. Like, it's nuts, man. Right.
It's like playing, like, Call of Duty Zombies, and you have all those Easter eggs. Like,
okay.
Like, it's like that type of puzzle where it's like, this is going to take you a while to figure out, and then it's just going to all kind of come together.
And Jeff had said, like it took him that long to figure it out. Man, get the zombie community on this. It'd be right? Solved in a day. Like, oh, man, I don't know. Like,
so it's like multiple steps involved.
Mm-hmm. It was 7 levels, and each level required you to then kill like a bunch of ads in between and a mini boss, and then solve this puzzle, which had 3 players standing on certain areas on the floor that had patterns, and them shooting letters or symbols on walls. But you could only see those letters and symbols on walls if you had a certain gun equipped.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. Like, all it's right. Crazy. Got
it. Okay. Cool. Because I'm caught up, because I have no idea what it was. Yes. I've been keeping up on that.
There's these, like,
I'm assuming most of our listeners haven't either.
So there's these hardcore streamers like XGlad, Datto, T-Rex that are doing this and trying multiple things. And then there's like a whole Destiny subreddit, Raid Secrets, dedicated mm-hmm. to things like this. And it took them 5 days to figure this out. And keep in mind that, like, in Rise of Iron, there was a puzzle that required, like, you to do math, like, hardcore math problems to figure out. I don't know if you guys even remember that.
And it was using binary,
yeah.
too.
Yep. Yeah, it was some crazy-ass shit. They solved that within, like, hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just... And someone's like, yeah, it's math. I get that most of that is a problem for people, but that's based on, like, algorithms and stuff that we could figure out. This is words, like, yeah. And, you know, we're trying to decipher a book, like a French book or a French poem. Like, it's just nuts, man.
I love that type of shit, though.
Like, it's, I think, so cool. Wednesday night, like, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, I had gotten lost. Like, I started watching Datto on Tuesday night when this came out. Fucking 4 hours went by. And me just watching him try to do this while I'm playing, like, Celeste at the same time. And I'm just like, what?
So this got released this past week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it had been out for a while, and then that's why Bungie was like, okay, here you go.
No, so they released it Tuesday as part of their update, and it required like 7 levels, like I said, and Bungie was involved. Like, they're watching, they're keeping track, and, you know, like, Datto, mm-hmm. who's a hardcore Destiny streamer, like, he was moving into a new place and all this stuff, and he thought this was going to take like an hour or so to do. And he ended up like missing some appointments and shit because
he's actually moving.
Like, yeah. Cause he in couldn't IRL. Stop. Okay. Yeah. Like, he couldn't stop, you know, playing this, trying to figure it out.
That's funny.
And so Bungie, like, 2 days later, they're like, it wasn't our intention to have it, you know, be this difficult. We're going to, cause basically what it was is that once you finish the puzzle, it was going to unlock one of their forges for everybody.
Mm hmm.
And the forges will give you, like, weapons, and it's, like, a mini, like, arena thing that they're doing. And once one person solved that, it unlocked it for everybody. So what they did is they just unlocked it for everybody that had the annual pass for Destiny 2 Forsaken.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But still had the puzzle. If you wanted to still go back and do the puzzle, you could.
Got it. Okay.
And someone just solved the puzzle last night, you know, so.
So what is... To you guys, what does Bungie going independent mean?
Personally, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if it was... I feel like Activision may have had a bigger hand in Destiny 1 when it first happened. Like, when it first came out, like Chris was saying. I'm not sure how much of their control was the beginning of Destiny 2. Or if that was just a collective...
I think they had more control... Destiny 2 than Destiny 1.
Yeah, maybe.
Just with all the, I mean, the focus on microtransactions.
Sure. Yeah, and I can see that. It's a lot of the focus on PvP I think that's mostly Activision, I feel like. Although Bungie had a lot of PvP with Halo, so it's not like neither of these companies, you know,
shied away from that. I think they had a bigger say in Destiny 1 because Bungie had this huge story, you know, planned out ahead of Destiny 1, and I believe Activision came in and was like, oh, that's a little too much, we gotta cut that back, because Destiny 1's the main story was nonsense.
Yeah, it just kind of fell apart. It
didn't make sense. Like, they had to change so many things. So,
well, that's why it got delayed, right? Because they had to rewrite it.
Yeah, it got delayed a year.
So, I don't know. I'm intrigued. I trust Bungie enough that I think that this could ultimately be a good thing. I don't think it's going to get, like, worse by any means. I'm curious as to how the game's going to feel going forward with it being a solely Bungie driven thing, because it's like, I don't know, to me it's like even the gun reload animation it feels very much like Activision to me. Like there's little things that you can see Activision all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that stuff's not going to change. I don't see why it would if Bungie's keeping, you know, control of their publishing rights and all this. I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm kind of excited, but I'm also not everything's going to get like five times as great because Activision's been holding it back. Like, I mean, I'm kind of wanting to see what's going to happen here.
I think their exclusivity deal with Sony, that's gone. So that means like the time releases are going to be,
sure,
gone. Like every system is gonna have their things right away. I think they're gonna be able to dive into more of the RPG elements that the community likes, you know, more story based, story driven. Like it's still gonna have the action, of course, but I think it's gonna have,
if you're gonna peel back from multiplayer.
I don't think so. I think multiplayer is a staple. Like Dustin said, Halo had that. You know, I think it's still gonna be there, but
obviously, it'll still be there, but
like their new mode Gambit's, you know, received well, you know, and that is kind of like a mixture of PvE and PvP. You know, I think they'll just be able to take more chances, you know, and do more things that the community like they want to see, or like
some more actually, focus on lore.
Yeah, like more feedback from, you know, what the fans want to see and be able to try to input that into the game. Like, they'll have more control to do that.
Okay. I mean, obviously, it's great that any studio can go independent from a big publisher like Activision, because for every time something like this can happen, how many studios has EA or Activision, for that matter, laid to waste and just dissolved and kept the IP. So it's awesome that they can do it. I'm happy for them. Obviously, like, I'm a huge Halo fan, so I love seeing Bungie doing well. Destiny 1 year 1.5 and Destiny 2 year 1.5 have left a very sour taste in my mouth.
Right.
And it's not undeserved, but I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see, I guess, what really happens, but it's, I don't know. Like one of the things I saw on Reddit was, now we're going to have nobody to blame but Bungie if it's shitty.
right. That's kind of some of my fear, because they've already got to be working on Destiny 3, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Like for the past couple of years. Like, I'm assuming, I mean, as soon as Destiny 2 came out, they had to have had at least some sort of team working on the next one.
Once it went live, it transfers to the live team. So all the other people start
immediately, boom.
Either we're on to the next one. They transfer to the live team, or they start working on stuff for 3.
Right. So given that this is taking place, I'm assuming somewhere in the development of the third one. So I'm curious what the next steps are going to be. But yeah, no, I think you're right. If it comes out and something sucks,
this is Bungie
doing it. Yeah, this isn't like, hey, Activision, get your claws out of it. Like, Bungie, what are you doing?
in a way is also good, because I mean, then it's just okay, there's nobody to blame here, get better.
Yeah, but exactly.
I think we just saw that though with like the puzzle thing. Like, they realized that, oh, maybe we made a mistake and made this too harder. Here's what we're gonna do, actually. Like,
I mean, maybe
they can correct the ship faster, I know, without like Big Brother, like, no,
that's
no,
true.
Don't meddle.
If something's wrong, they now have the ability to just put in whatever code or take out whatever code or flip whatever switch is necessary without having to get permission.
Well, yep. And I don't know. For me, it's just kind of the way I've always looked at it. Like, I know Activision's like that's like a juggernaut, you know, major company, but I always kind of looked at Bungie as being still fairly large, right? Like,
they are, and right. Were. Even after leaving Microsoft, they were.
Yeah, so but I don't know. It just felt like Bungie could have done this on their own anyway, but I guess with leaving Microsoft and all that, that kind of...
And to be fair, like, Halo 1 and 2 especially, like, are looked upon as some of the best games out there, especially for the time. They were gigantic messes, especially at launch, like, glitchy and first single player and multiplayer both. Like, so I mean, you know, that's just the nature of releasing AAA video games. But I don't know, it's and also still, like, Halo 2 especially still has a shit ton of glitches and bugs in it, but I don't know, we'll see what'll happen. It's exciting, it's cool, and now it's leaving also a lot of Blizzard fans kind of being like,
yeah, because Blizzard's had a rough couple years, and especially with Activision. Basically, Heroes of the Storm about to be canceled for the most part. So
every single gaming event that involved Heroes of the Storm in 2019 has been canceled. So it's not promising. I'm sure the community will keep it alive a lot longer than it will be on the like pro scene, quote unquote, which technically isn't there this year. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because Activision, you can tell Activision's getting their fingers in WoW and stuff like that now too, because they're from what I've been reading, a lot of people are saying it's turning into a mobile game. I don't know how true that is, or the last time you guys played. Well, like, instead of being able to just do quest lines, like, you're only allowed to log in at certain times of the day to do them. You have to actively log out and log back in daily to receive some kind of reward. I don't know. Like, it's getting not good, according to a lot of people. But...
No, I haven't really followed WoW, you know, in a bit, so...
It just has people... I mean, maybe it's not bad, but it's getting people very worried. How about that? So, okay. I mean, I don't see them splitting from Activision anytime soon either, but... I think a lot of people are just frustrated with how stagnant they've been as of late, and how much Activision might be fucking shit up behind the scenes. So
didn't WoW just have a expansion come out
last year? Yeah. Battle for Azeroth.
Very mixed reviews, right?
Yeah, it had some, like, good ideas, good premise, because it was going back to, like, the basics of Warcraft, you know, Horde versus Alliance, but I think they just made some mistakes along the way, and it's just too much, I don't know. I haven't followed it too much, I just don't know, it's not reviewed well.
The game's been out for 14, 15 years now.
it's been a long time.
I don't know. So. There's a lot of... you know, out on the internets out there, there's a lot of people being like, this year's BlizzCon's gonna like make or break, possibly.
Sure.
But I mean, they do have the Warcraft 3, you know, remaster coming soon.
That'll help.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
Fuck, I want to play that so bad.
It's nice that they're doing it. And I mean, for what it's worth, Diablo Infinite looks really cool. It's just how it was presented was not good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, most people are just getting generally worried with the stagnation that the company's been doing and the trending towards mobile tendencies of daily rewards and stuff like that for WoW. And then I mean, Heroes of the Storm essentially being ripped out of the pro scene isn't good either.
I mean, back in Warlords of Draenor, they had like a you could do it in the game, but you could also like have an app on your phone to look at these like daily quests, mm-hmm. and it was like basically a board that you'd send like your crew to go do these missions. But I mean, yeah, I haven't really followed.
Supposedly, there's so like a daily login bonus of, I don't know if it's money or resources or what, but that, I mean, why would you put that in a an MMO that's been out for this long suddenly?
Yeah, especially when the mass majority of your core hardcore WoW players are logging in every day anyway.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe so, I don't know.
I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, also the fact that Bungie is now independent from the company that might be influencing decisions like this. That's promising for sure. The future of Destiny, whatever it entails. And then how many, we have one more expansion, two more expansions for Destiny 2?
You have two more.
Okay. Yeah. So I will definitely be keeping a close eye on those.
Yeah, the next one is PvP heavier, I think.
Fourth one, I was going to say the fourth one especially, because I'm sure Activision still has stuff from the third one, and maybe even the fourth one, but...
Sure, yeah.
Then I don't know if Destiny 3 is out next year or if it's
I think that I haven't heard anything about it.
One major one, because I did that Destiny 1, it was Taken King and then Rise of Iron.
Right.
But we'll see.
So two more planned expansions and we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they will have their issues. What doesn't upon release nowadays, but hopefully the turnaround time for getting stuff fixed is a little cleaner now. And maybe some more immediate feedback.
Because I know we've talked about this before, given the fact that we kind of got burned right away on Destiny 1, then we got burned Destiny 2. Something like this, does this, in your guys' minds, does this change your mind at all about when Destiny 3 comes out, maybe getting it right away opposed to waiting? Like we'd kind of all
had that feeling. I'm still going to wait.
Okay.
We'll see. That's me. If Destiny 2 keeps on, if Destiny keeps on the same track that it did with Forsaken, yeah, I can see myself getting it right away.
Okay.
But I'm a fanboy, you know.
Fuck. I mean, I kind of agree with you on that one, Chris. It's just, it's given how they've turned it around, it's just, you always have that thought in the back of your mind of like, well, I've been burned twice early with this game. Like, that can't happen a third time because then it's over.
I've
like,
been burned too much lately by Bungie, Bethesda, all the bees. And I can be a fanboy of those and still say, fuck those companies. And yeah. I'm going to wait and see.
I feel burned with Destiny 2. Destiny 1, I had no expectations. I wasn't a huge Bungie fan. I didn't really play Halo or anything. And I enjoyed it, you know.
I guess that's right.
I was burned because of Halo.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay. For me, it's like, oh, well, I don't like what Destiny 2 just did, you know, when it first came out. And
for for Destiny 1, it was, I knew it was going to be nothing like Halo. It's a completely separate thing and everything. And then it was just, like, the wall you hit after the lack of content, like Destiny 2. Like, the wall you hit, just, I was like, well, where the fuck's the rest of the game? And there's nothing here to do. And everything, so that's why I got burned and didn't play for like a year or two.
Yeah, sure. And that makes sense. And I Destiny, I've said it before, but I played when the House of Wolves, their second expansion, Destiny 1, came out, and there was a ton more content, more things that you could do. And then, as we know, Taken King came out right after that, and
yeah,
it's just that's ever since.
I mean, maybe that's just what I have to do with Bungie games: wait 2 or 3 years and then just do all the story content because that was great.
Sure, but then who knows? Maybe it was Activision that was doing this, and
Destiny 3 is going to be the real tipping point.
It really is. I think you're right. I mean, I don't know. For me, I think it's going to be how the rest of Destiny 2 plays out. If it keeps up with the way it's going, I don't see how I don't get Destiny 3 right away. But I don't know. We'll see.
It's the second expansion of the major releases that seemed to like tip it, because House of Wolves, that's when I got into it, and then with this one it was the Warmind. One that was like, wow, okay, this shit is now good. Like, it's back to what it should be.
And I mean, with Activision, it makes very much sense that they'd be like, people don't want to play single player games or have lore. Motherfucker, that's what I'm here for. So, I don't know. Hopefully that what we said can start at least trending that way. But overall, regardless, I'm super happy they got independent. And it is a kind of, I mean, maybe they bought the rights. I'm assuming they bought the rights. But Activision letting them buy the rights is a nice touch.
Truth.
So, good job, Bungie.
Yay!
Make it count. And that is going to bring us to Tweet Corner.
Tweet Corner.
Only got one this week.
So I was going to post something yesterday in the afternoon or in the morning, but like, hey, we're recording today. Get your tweets in now. And I forgot. We'll get there, guys.
We're on our way. Keeping that resolution.
So yes, absolutely. So one tweet from. You guessed right. Our lovely boy, Jeff, allegedly Jeff, at CGY Podcast. Aliens from outer space land here tomorrow. Discuss. Hashtag Tweet Corner.
Okay.
I'm fucking glued to the TV watching the news.
No, build a wall? Is that what you just said?
Space wall.
Build a roof.
It's Space Force. Build the space
roof.
I thought it was Space Force, wasn't it?
It was at one point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's when I saw this question, I immediately thought of Signs, but then I also thought
that's what happens, right?
Well, then I also thought of Mars Attacks.
Oh,
so I was like,
it's a mixture of that, probably.
Not for real. I'm probably like glued to the news,
like Joaquin Phoenix and Signs.
Like, what is going on? Well, like, yeah. did you see that shit that happened in New York a couple weeks ago? Like. A transformer, the power plant, blew up.
Yeah,
and that kind of freaked me out a little bit because no one knew what it was. I was like, "What the fuck is that? Why is the sky blue?"
My initial thought is, I'm going to call Adam here.
We're going to that barn.
We're going to that secret location, and we're gonna fucking survive. This is what we're doing. We already talked about this. We gotta go.
It wasn't a shower thought. Because it was in a different subreddit, but someone was just like, "What?" I think it was in our space. Someone was like, "What if we're like the last intelligent civilization, or not intelligent civilization? We're like the last like civilization, like us in the universe, and we haven't heard from aliens because they're protecting us, like we do indigenous people."
Well, so it's like Star Trek II, the movie,
yeah,
the newest ones. Mm-hmm. Like they do that to that planet. Don't let them see the spaceship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the first scene, right?
Which separately, this is a side note, but Star Trek IV got canceled.
Yeah, I saw that. The director.
That's sad. I loved the newest Star Trek movies. Like, I thought they were so good.
I thought the third one was okay.
Third one wasn't great, but the first two were actually really good.
I mean, the third one was directed by the dude that does Tokyo Drift. Fast and the Furious. Yeah, it was like, dude, that's not what these movies are. I think that was a bad choice, but the way they marketed it with the Beastie Boys, it was like, guys, that's not what this is a Star Trek movie. You need to calm down on what you're doing here.
I think it was fine.
I think it modernized it.
It did.
I mean, Simon Pegg had to come out and tell everybody just the third one.
Okay.
Like, cause there was such a reaction to how it was being marketed with being like, It fucking looked like a Fast and the Furious movie, like the way they like cut it and edited it. And Simon Pegg had to be like, guys, it's still a Star Trek movie. Just trust me. And it was like, and it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't as bad as what I thought it was
That's what I was telling you. Like, it was marketed bad.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad movie.
It was
a good Star Trek movie.
The Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie is still on board, by the way.
Oh, what? Cool.
Yeah. Have you not heard about that, Dustin?
I have not.
Yeah, in the next 5 years or so, I think.
How much cursing are we going to get in a Star Trek movie?
A fuck ton.
You're going to get the N-word.
Yeah, it's Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, now this is the Star Trek movie I've wanted to see for a long time.
It's completely separate from the ones that are current, like, well, no, are no longer happening. But I mean, it is going to be a Star Trek movie.
All right.
Directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Fuck it, let's do it. But Samuel Jackson's going to be in it.
So initially, it's going to be Aliens Land. It's going to be Signs, maybe a little Mars Attacks combined, and then maybe eventually Star Trek.
Could be a little bit of Independence Day. I don't know.
Could be depending.
It depends. Yep. I mean, I think Aliens from Outer Space land here tomorrow. I think the world freaks the fuck out.
Well, yeah. The thing is that we can't even get along on our planet right now ourselves, but now we got to deal with these alien assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to get our shit together.
Plus all these movies we've named off, like, we've already seen too many of these. Like, your immediate reaction is like, we're in danger, but like, maybe you're not. Who knows? Like,
I mean, that's the next, like, biggest, like, big earth-shaking event that, you know, I think could happen. You know, like, aliens. World War, you know, World Wars, you know, could happen, of course, which, I mean, are probably going to happen, let's be honest. But, like, that's one of those events that, like, you go to work and, like, you can't even work.
Nope.
You know, like, that's all you're talking about.
You're glued to every screen you have
available. I'm telling you right now, if aliens landed here tomorrow, well, I guess not tomorrow, but let's say Monday, I'm not fucking going to work.
What, are Sundays for the Lord? No.
I mean, I don't work on Sunday is my problem.
He also doesn't go to Noodles and Company on Sundays.
No, for sure, that's not Sunday.
No, I do. I don't go to Olive Garden on Sundays.
I'll tell you right now, if aliens landed tomorrow on a Sunday, I'm not going to work on Monday either.
Yeah, fuck that. Are you kidding me?
Who's going to be doing work?
Yeah. It's true.
We're going to be at this fucking secret location. That's where we're going
to
be.
I don't know. I'd be excited to, like, oh shit, this exists. This is real, but also like scared.
It's a Marsha Brady. Like, I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Oh, not Marsha Brady. Sorry. Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah. I was like, Marsha Brady.
No, wrong family. Yeah. Kelly Kapowski.
But that initial, what you said, Chris. Yeah. Like, I'm glued to the TV. Like,
every screen.
I am absolutely.
I'm on social media, Twitter, looking to see if anyone's got a close-up on these motherfuckers. TV,
got my PlayStation going on, working on stuff. I'll subscribe to PlayStation and View just to be able to watch the news.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. if you think that, like, aliens don't exist, you're just closed-minded. Like, the universe is too large not to have some other life out there.
I mean, yeah, it's ever-expanding.
Yeah, fucking scares me. In a good way. Well,
I get jacked on this type of stuff. I love this.
No, it scares me in a good way. Like, oh man, no. Like, that's freaks me out, but that's so cool.
I think that'll sufficely answer that question.
Yeah.
Also, our friend Colin told Jeff to go to bed after that because he did post it at like 3 in the morning.
When Colin is up.
But regardless, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what, Colin? You go to bed.
No, he can't.
Oh, that's true.
Just watch Japanese wrestling. Or work.
I mean, he could have just been like Ben and gone and seen that live.
But I'll say that was the perfect transition because he's up at that time anyway.
Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
3 a.m. here is mid-afternoon there. It's like perfect. Anyway, you too can be a part of Tweet Corner if you tweet at us at CGY Podcast. There you can also follow us. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook just by looking up at CGY Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Podbean. You can follow us on Spotify. Do so. Leave a rating if you would be so kind. We do read them. And excitingly, we have an actual website now where you can go to comegetyourpodcast.com. Come get your podcast, all one word, .com. And yep. It's basically just a little hub right now. We're still working on it. Mm-hmm.
But there are ideas flowing.
All right. We have ideas that we'll be implementing. You can leave a comment there if you so wish to. We got one already. It's very nice, whoever did it. And we also have the RSS feed for all of our episodes. We have our most recent tweets and stuff like that. And I think with our social media presence bumping up again, it'll be filled with more things. There are links to all of our social media, speaking of. There's going to be a little bio section about the three of us. And then I think we're going to start maybe just a little blog blurbs here and there if we have, you know, rants or ideas about games or media in general. And it's going to be expanding as time goes on. But yeah, check us out. Come get your podcast, .com. You guys have anything to say about that?
No, anything I mean, that was... that was it. It's going to be always be changing. Yeah. We're always going to be updating it. Mm-hmm. Where we welcome any ideas for it.
Yes, as well. Please. Exactly. If you guys have any ideas for what you'd like to see, just let us know.
It's in its tiny baby infant stages, so it's going to look even better as time goes on. So
if there's an artist out there, Brandon, if you're listening this far, if you would like to draw some characters of us actually for the biography section, it's gonna be a website that's like Meet the Boys.
Yeah, but so yeah, come get your podcast.com at CGY Podcast and all the rest of the social medias, and subscribe to us on iTunes and all that, and give us a Tweet Corner question.
Do it.
But as always, we end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit. This week's comes from user Captain Overthinker. Shrek and Fiona are fucking assholes for inflating those animals and just letting them float into oblivion.
No shit.
And that has been episode 42 of Come Get Your Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And I've been Chris.
Goodbye.
Which Shrek was that?
Shrek 1.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
OG Shrek.
I just remember the Robin Hood scene.
I'm pretty sure it takes place during a Smash Mouth song.
Most definitely.
I found love was on true in fairy tales.